Okay. Now we will do the chanting, evening chanting. We will do the English chanting, evening chanting in English. This one you have to turn to page 14 of your retreat version, the one with the ring file, retreat version, page 14. This one is Wat Pat Nana Chant, the Theravada tradition chanting, the lineage of Achancha, the forest tradition. Anybody who also know how to chant this version? Anybody? Nobody. Then we have to wait for Ing Bi to come. Ing Bi will be coming later. Yeah, we can chant together, no problem. Okay, you can pay your homage first. I will chant the English version, page 14. To the Blessed One, the Lord, who fully attained perfect enlightenment, to the teaching which He expounded so well, and to the Blessed One's disciple who have practiced well, to this, the Buddha, the Dhamma, and the Sangha, we render with offering our rightful homage. Bow. It is well for us that the Blessed One, having attained liberation, still had compassion for later generation. May these simple offerings be accepted for our long-lasting benefits and for the happiness it gives us. The Lord, the perfectly enlightened and blessed One, I render homage to the Buddha, the Blessed One. The teaching so completely explained by Him, I bow to the Dhamma, the Blessed One's disciple who have practiced well. I bow to the Sangha. Now let us pay preliminary homage to the Buddha. Homage to Him, the Blessed, the Worthy One, the Fully Enlightened One. Homage to Him, the Blessed One, the Worthy One, the Fully Enlightened One. Homage to Him, the Blessed One, the Worthy One, and Fully Enlightened One. Now let us chant the recollection of the Buddha, a good word of the Blessed One's reputation has spread as follows. Such indeed is the Blessed One, the Worthy One, the perfectly enlightened One, endowed with wisdom and virtue, the accomplished One, the knower of the world, the incomparable master or guide of those to be trained, teacher of man and God, the enlightened One, the blessed One. Now let us chant the supreme praise of the Buddha, the Buddha, the truly worthy One, endowed with excellent qualities, whose being is composed of purity, wisdom and compassion, who has enlightened the wise like the sun awakening the lotus. I bow my head to that peaceful chief of conqueror, the Buddha, who is the safe, secure refuge of all beings. As the first object of recollection, I venerate him with bowed head. I am indeed the Buddha's servant. The Buddha is my Lord and Guide. The Buddha is sorrow destroyer who bestow blessing on me. To the Buddha, I dedicate this body and life, and in devotion, I will walk the Buddha's path of awakening. For me, there is no other refuge. The Buddha is my excellent refuge. By the utterance of this truth, may I grow in the Buddha's way. By my devotion to the Buddha and the blessing of this practice, by his power, may all obstacles be overcome. Then you bow and we recite together. By body, speech or mind, for whatever wrong action I have committed towards the Buddha, may I acknowledgement of fault be accepted, that in future there will be restraint regarding the Buddha. Now let us chant in praise of the Dhamma. Well expounded is the Dhamma of the Blessed One. Can be realized in the here and the now, beyond timeless, beyond thought, inviting investigation, onward leading to the heart, Nibbana, can be understood by the wise, each for themselves. Now let us chant the supreme praise of the Dhamma. It is excellent because it is well expounded and it can be divided into path and fruit, practice and liberation. The Dhamma holds whose uphold it from falling into delusion. I reverence the excellent teaching, that which removes darkness, the Dhamma which is the supreme secure refuge of all being. As the second object of reflection, I venerate it with bowed head. I am indeed the Dhamma's servant. The Dhamma is my Lord and Guide. The Dhamma is sorrow destroyer, and it bestows blessing on me. To the Dhamma, I dedicate this body and life, and in devotion, I will walk this excellent way of truth. For me, there is no other refuge. The Dhamma is my excellent refuge. By the utterance of this truth, may I grow in the Master's way. By my devotion to the Dhamma and the blessing of this practice, by its power, may all obstacles be overcome. By body, speech and mind, for whatever wrong action I have committed towards the Dhamma, may my acknowledgement of fault be accepted, that in future there may be restraint regarding the Dhamma. Now let us chant the recollection of the Sangha. Of good conduct is the order of the disciple of the Blessed One. Of upright conduct is the order of the disciple of the Blessed One. Of wise conduct is the order of the disciple of the Blessed One. Of dutiful conduct is the order of the disciple of the Blessed One. This order of Blessed One's disciple, namely, the four pair of person, the eight type of individual, is worthy of offering, is worthy of hospitality, is worthy of gift, is worthy of reverential salutation, is an incomparable field of merits in the world. Now let us chant the supreme place of the Sangha, born of the Dhamma, that Sangha which has practiced well, the field of the Sangha, form of eight kind of noble beings, guided in body and mind by excellent morality and virtue. I revere the assembly of noble ones, perfected in purity, the Sangha which is the supreme secure refuge of all being, As the third object of recollection, I venerate it with bowed head. I am indeed the Sangha's servant. The Sangha is my Lord and guide. The Sangha is sorrow destroyer, and it bestows blessing on me. To the Sangha, I dedicate this body and life, and in devotion, I will walk the well-practiced way of the Sangha. For me, there is no other refuge. The Sangha is my excellent refuge. By the utterance of this truth, may I grow in the Master's way. By my devotion to the Sangha and the blessing of this practice, by its power, may all obstacles be overcome. By body, speech, or mind, for whatever wrong action I have committed towards the Sangha, may my accomplishment of hope be accepted, that in the future there will be restraint regarding the Sangha. Now we will chant the closing homage. We chant in Pali. Arahang sama sambuddho bhagava buddhang bhagavantang abhivademi. Suakato bhagavata dhammo dhammang namasami. Supatipanno bhagavato savakasangho sanghaṃ namāmi. Okay, you can be seated. Now we will turn to page 1 of the Heart Sutta. Today we shall officially start off with the Heart Sutta. Okay, we will read through the introduction. Introduction, Heart Sutta. Sister Lee Siu-gek had in the year January 2012 invited Brother to visit Wu Ping Ching's Vihara. And it was during this visit that Sister Lee had requested Brother Teo to conduct this weekly Heart Sutta meditation class at Wu Ping Ching's Vihara. The first Heart Sutta meditation class commenced in the year 2012, 12th of February, and it continued until 19 May 2013 for a period of about 15 months. This was then followed by the weekly Satipatthana Sutta meditation class. Initially, short notes were taken by Sister Lee and forwarded to Brother Teo for editing, before using it for sharing at the next Heart Sutta meditation class. And this was how the Heart Sutta meditation class short note comes about. Many Kayamita who had attended the classes had found the short note very beneficial and rather useful. Hence the reason why they had suggested that it be compiled into a book, so that it can also benefit others who had the affinity to receive it later. These short notes can also help those of the Theravada tradition to have a better understanding of the Heart Sutta teaching of the Mahayana tradition. Because Brother Teo had managed to link the Heart Sutta teaching to all the various essential Dhamma of the Buddha as recorded in the Theravada tradition, so that the Dhamma practitioner or cultivator can have a better understanding of both traditions' teaching and see clearly how they are related to each other. But you had also But you had also managed to link and explain clearly how all the essential Dhamma of the Buddha as recorded in the Theravada tradition comes about and how they are connected to each other, thereby making it much easier to understand. In fact, the essence of the Buddha's teaching is just the Four Noble Truths, and all of the other teaching or essential Dhamma are spin-off from it. It has also been brought to your sincere intention and wish that Dhamma friends, spiritual practitioners, seekers of truth and cultivator will be able to make use of this enclosed Heart Sutta meditation class short note to develop a better and clearer understanding of the Dhamma as taught by the Buddha, so that they may progress along the path of Dhamma to become more virtuous and wiser human beings that can be a blessing to all. As this short note were mostly only important pointers as prepared by Sister Lee for my editing, as such, it may not be as complete as compared to the recorded talks. Hence, it is hoped that reader who wants to benefit more will listen to the recording so as to have a clearer and more complete understanding of what has been shared. For those who want to listen to the recording, they can download the talk from the various Dropbox link. Via contacting Sister Gek at this one or Brother Suyan at all the Dropbox link. But now no need. Now you can go to the website. But today I was told the website, somebody tried to hack and steal the website. I don't know why. We were told, according to that Brother Lau who helped us do up the website. Luckily, we host it on a reputable hosting. Then we did everything according. So because of that, he managed to actually change his password as an administrator. Then he found that guy. That guy with a very funny, I think he's what you call the you create a not log in like username your like identify him or not. You know who he put himself or not? Owner of brotherteo.com. He want to steal the website. He put there. Then Brother Lau text to Chin Hao, anybody by this name, our Kajamita. Then luckily we confirm nobody with this type of name. Then he know it's a hacker. He went in, he take him out. Once take him out, the website come back to normal again. So you all can go in now. So I write you the link. The link is very simple. Can you see or not? You are right in red. Just brotteoh.com. Just like that. You just Google. Just Google. Then it will come out. Straight away type also can come out. Oh, no need the view. Just this one, no need. Come out already. But I use Google, it straight away come out. Then you go to, there is a menu. You go to this menu. You click on it, then a lot of things will come down. It will appear. Then you have the first one is, I think, home. Home. Then the next one is about us. Home will give you the latest sharing. The latest sharing. The latest updated sharing. So all this, you can get it from there. Then about is, what is this website all about? Who set it up and how it become what it is today? And the background and also the important three conditions that I mentioned, and how Yun Chan came and see me, then how we set up the Mahayanamitta based on the Buddha's concept of Kayanamittaship. Kayanamittaship is 100% of the holy life according to the Buddha. So at the onset, I already knew to avoid any problem or misunderstanding. I don't want to identify by any Buddhist organization. Because I put a name, I create division. You understand? No? It's like you vipassana, you samatha, or you theravada, you mahayana, you vajrayana. Then within the theravada, you got SJBA, Buddhist Society. Then you got all the Nalanda, you got Brickfield. Then you go, you identify, where are you from? Brickfield, Buddhist Society. Where are you from? So all divided. But what the Buddha wanted is the Buddhist community as one, understand not? Means we are all Dhamma practitioner, we are all Dhamma friend, Kayamita. So if we identify through a common name, then there is no division. But you can still have your own organization, understand not? Your own, they call objective, organization objective, or the mission statement or something. You can still do whatever you want. But when we come together, we should identify ourselves as Kayanamitta. I'm one of your Kayanamitta. Then you can ask, where are you from? Then as Kayanamitta, we don't have the division, isn't it? Otherwise, they will look at it, oh, you from there or not? Or some will say they're from clan, you know, honestly. Then some of these, like you heard before, some of these Buddhist group, they got argument before, and they don't see eye to eye, a lot of politics. So how? You will have a lot of division. That's why I don't want to start off with any organization. I just say, we are just Dhamma friend, Kayanamitta website. Yeah. So you read this one about, it's very interesting. Yeah? Then you have our publications, and books, if I'm not wrong. Repository, sorry. This one is a subdivision. The other one is actually repository. This is a very good word. I learned this English word from Brother Lau. Repository. Means all the Dhamma material all there. Then you got publication and book, you got video. Now they got video. You got audio. So all the various classes, then you got my various type of sharing, the Krishnamurti code and all those things. They are all there. Then contact. Then later on you got contact and a few, one or two more things I forgot already. So you go in, you can learn a lot of things from this website. It's really a repository of what we call Dhamma material. They are really, really priceless, but given free. There is no membership fee, nothing. No annual fee, nothing. We just do it for the benefit of mankind, for Kayamitta and those who have affinity. We actually fund through our own Kayamitta's donation. There is no compulsion. People just donate. That's why we have this Kayamitta fund, to serve them well. And every time we do something, like spiritual trip, retreat or what, we will set up a common fund so that Kayamitta get to partake. Even they don't come, they get to partake. Then the rest who come, contribute, all your whatever contribution go to that common fund so that you get to partake in all the things that we do. Otherwise, you know what will happen or not. Your donation is earmarked for, let's say, breakfast, lunch or dinner. You only limited to that day, that donation. Then all the other thing like the puja offering this morning, the flower we bought, the fruit, everything, the incense. Then all this whiteboard material, writing material, all come from Kayamitta fund and the common pool fund. So these are the things that other people, Even you have a lot of money, you're very wealthy, but you cannot get to partake. You know, all these printing of all these Dhamma books that the sharing from us, they are all from Kayamita Fund. Only Kayamita Fund can do. You got money also, you cannot donate and do, because it's not meant for other people. It's meant for Kayamita. So the concept is quite unique. It's all explained inside the website. You go in, you have a look. Then the Heart Sutta also got its link. Then publication and books, you have to understand better, because there is also the e-book reader that Jin Hao has helped. All these are done by Hikanamita volunteer. I also don't understand, but the thing just come. So this e-book is easier to read, actually. You don't need the hard copy. You can go in. Then under publication, the Six Patriarch Platform Sutta, there is another link one. You click on that one, then a lot of books will come out. Lesson 1, Lesson 2, Lesson 3, then skip. Then we have the latest, I think, Lesson 75. There are a lot of lessons on the Six Patriarch. But we don't have enough people or resources to do all the transcript. We only do those that people volunteer, the important one, and they are there. But if you want to listen to the audio file, they are all there. Even the Heart Sutta, they are all there. The only thing without audio file is the 5 aggregate of form and mind. At the time when I started, the internet was very backward. There was no what they call this type of recorder. There was no what they call pen drive. That time, you know, we use cassette tape. And you know, cassette tape cannot last. No CD also that time. So that's why this one, it was what we call, somebody transcribed it out, he put in a word file. Then the audio file, which was a cassette tape, no more, because cannot be used already. Then luckily, I think, don't know, Brother Jin Hao or Brother Tiu helped me to, from the photostat copy, the last time we used the A4 paper, we managed to get it scanned and convert into a proper soft copy. That's why we can do it into this printed book form. Last time, the word file also gone. We only got the A4 size hard copy. And the technology is so good. They can scan and produce a soft copy. That's why I can do up the book for you. And the book just came out beginning of the year, I think January. Oh, December last year, yes. Yeah. So this is the website for you to make a note. All the new book got the link inside there. This 5 aggregate of form and mind also got mentioned, yes. http://brothertiu.com. You have all the link in the book. Even the heart, understanding the heart and the mind also, you have that. And all the links are there. You should go in and make use of it, because that website is very, very complete, very comprehensive. And it's meant to be. The website just want to come out. And you will be surprised. We just... somebody came to me with the idea. Then I say, why not? Go ahead. Then a few of them grew together. We should thank A.J. Jin Hao, the sister, and Sui An. Then we had one lunch on it. Then we talked. Then Brother Lau was Sui An's old boss. Well, he was very good. He has done a few websites for a few Buddhist people, I think, Buddhist society. So he came, wow, he can explain to me so well, just like I explain Dhamma to you. And I listen, as a non-IT guy, I can understand him. Then I go and prepare all this about us and all that. I have to write all this thing out. Nobody can write. It's only me who understand what this thing is. So I write it out. And he was very happy. Within less than a month, the website was ready and launched. About 3 years ago, was it 3 years ago? I think coming to 3 years, I think. This coming March, the first. Over already. March the 1st, and I remember I launched it 2 or 3 years ago. I forgot already. Anyway, that is all the information of people who are new. Okay, we turn to lesson one. Oh, sorry, acknowledgement I haven't read. We will read the acknowledgement, then we rejoice and thank all those people. Acknowledgement. It is the donor's sincere intention that this Heart Sutta come meditation class short note be given free to all those who are interested and have the affinity to receive them. I would like to take this opportunity to thank and rejoice in the generosity and wholesomeness of all those Dhamma friends or Kayamita who has donated and helped out in the compilation, typing, typesetting, formatting, proofreading, etc. to make this free distribution of Dhamma Dana possible. Special thanks should be accorded to Sister Suge, who had personally taken the initiative to prepare all the short note pointers for my editing. Then Sister Padmasuri, Brother Tune, Sister Engby, Sister Ellen Wong, and Sister Man Yuan for the very useful and rather important input, thereby enabling this Heart Sutta Dhamma book to have the condition to be printed for free distribution. At that time, because so many chapters involved, they have to do the proofreading, then the editing, then we have to use word file alone to do it. And all of this has to come back to me. I compile the final document. That's why there's a lot of work involved. But finally, there was joy because we know this is very useful. I told them after the Heart Sutta class, I said, you don't need any more Dhamma. You know why not? Because everything that you need is here. It's all in the short note. Very complete. Of course, this one is only the handful of leaf for the sainthood way. But for the bodhisattva way, it's not here. But at that time, it's more critical to teach those teachings. But later on, after the year 2015, a lot of things happened. 2015 onward, the condition just arise. The bodhisattva way want to come. The teaching want to come. That's why the blue book later on, when you read through, you understand. The condition just arrive by itself. Then I share that thing. It was from four or five sharing. I forgot already. Then they decide to volunteer to transcribe the sharing. Then after I did the transcript, I look at it. How come so funny? Can become a book on how to cultivate the bodhisattva way. Because I don't intend to teach and share this on earlier on. Because it's like too difficult a topic for most people. But because it wants to happen, it wants to come out, everything just falls into play. Then I decide to compile all the four transcripts into just one book, cultivating the bodhisattva way. Then the front page, the cover page of Kuan Yin. Also, Padmasuri got it. Oh, it just come. Everything so beautiful. That's why all this is nothing to do with you want or you don't want. Sometimes you don't even know that it's coming. Like the famous saying, how come? I know come, baby come. That joke. So sometimes Dhamma, you don't plan. Like you don't know that it's coming. So in a way, when you understand Dhamma, you understand condition. We are just now down there, you remember? I take the new people around at the tortoise there, you remember? The advice of all the masters, including all the Sangha members, Sama, Sambuddha, everything, their teaching is the same. Every Dhamma, I say, is all causes and condition only. When you understand causes and condition, you understand the teaching, the Dhamma. Every of these teachers come, they teach like that. Dependent on condition, they arise. Dependent on condition, they cease. When condition cease to be, they cease. It's just like that. People become enlightened. That's how you must learn to develop the ability to become awakened, just from hearing. Then there is a lot of code inside here, how Sariputta become enlightened. So hopefully some of you also can just awaken like that. Not difficult, really. You cultivate and develop the understanding. I will read on the last part. They invoke the power of merits. By the power of all these merits or wholesomeness, may all beings be well and happy, free from all mental and physical suffering, harm and danger, and may there be love, peace and joy deep within our hearts, so that the world will be much more peaceful with greater harmony always. And may it always pave the way for there to be causes and conditions for all Dharma friends who have donated or helped out in one way or other to realize their good and noble wishes or aspiration sooner possible with metta always. Yeah? By May. This was in the year 2015. You can rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. I always wish Kayamita to realize their good and noble wishes is because you are still in the conditioned world. So you need good wishes. You know what is good wishes? Yeah? Good life, good health, yeah? Good financial freedom, good family unit, yeah? Good cultivation, good Dhamma understanding. So everything is good. True or not? That's why your good and noble wishes. Noble are for enlightened being, noble ones. So your noble wish is when you wish or aspire for enlightenment. Then all this, because of your merit, it can bring forth the causes and conditions to support you. Okay, then we continue. Lesson 1. Heart Sutta. So this lesson 1 is always on a Saturday, 3 p.m. and we end at 6 p.m. First session is always Heart Sutta. Then after 1.5 hours, we have meditation. Then we have Q&A. But sometimes, because the Heart Sutta class is so interesting, we skip meditation. It's straight away whole session, 3 hours Heart Sutta class. So this is a bit of a background. Okay, chapter 1, definition. This one is not important. Just for understanding, paramita, the Sanskrit word meaning crossover. In Mahayana Buddhism, paramita means a perfection or virtuous quality practiced by a bodhisattva in the course of his or her spiritual cultivation. The Heart Sutta. But this is the Heart Sutta. So I have to start off with chapter 1 on the Heart Sutta. You just imagine, this Heart Sutta is just 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 paragraphs, less than half a page. Yeah? But the teaching, the commentary is a book, so thick. Then we take 1 year to share. That's why this Heart Sutta is very, very powerful, a very unique and very, very special teaching. It's the perfection of wisdom teaching put forth by Kuan Yin Bodhisattva, a very virtuous and wise being. She actually perfected everything. She can be Samasambuddha anytime. But she chose to stay in the world with her work and her vow. Okay, we will read through the Heart Sutta. The Mandarin version is the same, Quan Zi Zai Pu Sa and all those things. So this one is the English version. When Avalokiteshvara Bodhisattva was cultivating or practicing the profound Prajna Paramita, Prajna is wisdom, paramita is perfection, perfection of wisdom. He illuminated the 5 skandhas, or 5 aggregates of form and mind, and saw that they are all empty, and he crossed over beyond all suffering and difficulty. See? he just illuminate the five skandha. That's why, Quan Zhi Zai Pu Sa, Zhao Jing, Zhao Jian, Wu Yun Jie Kong. He just illuminate. You think he used torchlight to illuminate? No, the wisdom eye, the nature, he just direct seeing, illuminate into it, and realize that they are all empty. Empty means what? Empty means very profound emptiness. It's not nothingness, no. Empty doesn't mean nothing, no. Empty means empty nature of existence. You understand, huh? All of our phenomenal world of consciousness, our existential world type of civilization, life form, universe, everything. Do you think it's real? Of course, you use your mundane mind. You say, yeah, very real, right? You cannot deny all this planet, this star system, everything exists. And our life also exists. But the real meaning is it real? It's never real. Why? Because empty nature existence, just like our life. We can never deny we were born in it. Since birth until now, depending on your age, maybe like mine is 65 years old. I cannot deny that this thing happened in it, this phase of my life, 65 years happened in it. But you ask me, is it real? I look at it. It's nothing, understand? Where got anything? It did happen before, but it's already dead and gone, understand? I can only recall through what? Memory. That's why that Mandarin song is very good. 往事只能回味. You can only reflect and recall through memory. Then do you think you are very important, very real? Maybe history will record your name, understand? You are famous enough. But notorious also, your name go in. So not only famous. So all this, how real can it be? Then later on, you will also learn this. Yeah? Within our existential world, the only reality in life is what? Huh? The present moment, isn't it? This moment, now, real or not? Real, isn't it? Where we can talk about it, isn't it? How stable is this present moment? Split second is dead and gone as well. No more already. And this is the only reality, you know, highest in life, you know. How do we come to that conclusion? Very easy. The Buddha said, the past is already gone, isn't it? Correct or not? Like the 65 years that I live. Where got reality? It's already gone, dead and gone. No more reality. Then future, yet to come, isn't it? It's also not a reality. Then what is the only reality? Moment to moment, this moment, life passes by. This is the only reality. So what are you doing? Moment to moment, life passes by. This is the only reality. What are you doing? You are too busy thinking, planning, and worrying about life. So much so you never leave life. True or not? Complain here, complain there, worry about this, worry about that. You are never with the moment in silent awareness to experience the pristine beauty and wonders of life. And even when you can do that, that moment is so fragile, so unreal. We're split second. The moment you say, this moment is gone. Understand? And that is the only reality. And yet, it is so impermanent in that sense. Understand? Then how real can life be? You understand or not? That's why empty nature existence. You can talk about it. Write about it. Discuss it. But ultimately, no reality. Understand? Not? When nobody remember you, do you exist? You still exist, What you say? You don't exist anymore, isn't it? You only exist in the memory of people who remember you, isn't it? But they remember you through what? History. His story. so the girl don't get to participate. Know her story. That's why I know her story. History. So his story. So you must understand, the English language come from man. The Englishman. It's not from the lady, definitely. Otherwise all this word won't come out. So when you understand this, you will understand why Kuan Yin say, when he illuminated the five aggregate of form and mind, he realized it's all empty, no reality. Means empty nature or existence. There is no permanent unchanging entity that I can cling onto and say, this is me, this is I, this will last for eternity, it will never change. Like this body, don't get old, don't get sick, don't die. You go and try. It never listen to you. It listen to who? Your body listen to who? You think you are the owner? The body go the way of nature, understand? Grow old, get sick and die. You think he got time to tell you, hey, master, I'm going to get sick now. I'm going to get heart attack now. Can you get ready? He's not going to tell you all this, isn't it? But it's never you. That's why they say, don't have control over. Because the Buddha in the Anatta Lakkhana Sutta, later on we will go through, he teach in a very beautiful way. He said, if this body is me, it will not go the way of nature. It will not lead to suffering. It will be within my ability to say, the body must be such. The body must not be such. But cannot. Well, you are not the owner. It's not a permanent, unchanging entity. You cannot have control over it. That's why it's called anatta. Anatta doesn't mean non-self alone. Doesn't mean, what they call, they used to use the other word, anatta. most of the Theravada translate as non-self, isn't it? Karana, you only heard about non-self, isn't it? Anatta. But the real meaning is, it's not a permanent, unchanging entity. That is the real meaning. And because of that, it's not a permanent, unchanging entity that you can cling on to, hold on to, and say, this is me. This is self. But the deep meaning of anatta is actually emptiness. And Theravada teaching got one word, has one word, sunyata. Sunyata means emptiness. And that is the actual meaning of anatta. That's why when the Buddha chant, later on we will also chant in the morning chanting. Rupang anicang, rupang anatta. So he said, all of form is impermanent. All of form is anatta. So table is a form, isn't it? How can you say table is non-self? This has got no life, understand? But the Buddha said, this is anatta. It's not a permanent, unchanging entity. Well, this table is dependent originating, condition arising. That's why it's impermanent. That's why it's anatta. And with this, you will understand why the three universal characteristics of impermanent, suffering state and empty nature, existence of anatta nature is so powerful. And I have explained them very clearly in the five aggregate of form and mind. You read through, you will know. Here, how to see form, the unreality of form, and how to see the how to see beyond form. They are all there. Then it also go to the other aggregates of mind, feeling, perception, sankhara and vijnanang. How to see mind, the unreality of mind. Then only you can see beyond mind. And then you see your pure nature. And all those things that I explained to you this morning is all inside here. And the explanation of the five aggregates, the two aspects, they are all here, very detailed. It's a full 2 hour plus talk, together with Q&A, almost 3 hours. It's all very beautifully transcribed into a book form. You read through, you will understand. Okay. Then I read on, second paragraph. Sariputta, form does not differ from emptiness. Emptiness does not differ from form. Form itself is emptiness, and emptiness itself is form. So too are feeling, cognition, formation, and consciousness. So here, the Mahayana tradition, they use a different type of English word to name perception. Instead of perception, they use cognition. Instead of sankhara, they use formation, because it's the mind form, mental formation is also sankhara. So they use different words. So if you don't understand the Mahayana teaching, you will definitely don't agree to what is spoken here. Maybe I ask Richard and Danny, what do you think? He told Sariputta, you know who is Sariputta? The top disciple of the Buddha, foremost in wisdom. He said, Sariputta, form does not differ from emptiness. Emptiness does not differ from form. Form itself is emptiness, and emptiness itself is form. Can you agree to this statement or not? Form, no, solid form, no. It's empty, is it? And emptiness is form. So, how to reconcile? Can you accept that statement? Can you agree to what is being spoken? And this is the highest wisdom, perfection of wisdom. Prajna Paramita Sutta. You want to try to answer? Richard? Don't. Okay. Anyway, it's not difficult. I got a book at the back there. Purple color also on emptiness. You go and get hold of the book. So this book, Kong. Emptiness, Kong. Maybe I say, you order no Mandarin. But you can understand some basic Mandarin. Or can? Danny can? Basic one can? You heard of this saying or not? Lai ye kong, qi ye kong. Namo si zu a, he bi ku ku wei kong liu lei na? You haven't heard of this. I think Richard heard of this, isn't it? Yeah? You know what is the meaning or not? When you came to this world, when you are born into this world, did you bring along anything? Nothing, is that? That's a lai ye kong. Understand? Then when you die, can you bring along anything? Cannot, is that? Can see that or not? You are born with nothing. You go also cannot take along anything. So that is the meaning. Lai ye kong, qi ye kong. Then why do you so foolishly in between grieve over emptiness? Go and worry. Go and become so sad, so unhappy over what? Over the final summation, which is emptiness. Understand? Namo si zu he bi ku ku in between, wei kong liu lei. You cry, you have your sorrow, your lamentation, your unhappy moment over what? Over the whole thing, which is what you call life, which is empty. Understand? That's why it's foolish. That is stupidity, the Mahayana say. So when you understand this, you will understand. Then that song, Wang Si Zi Nen Hui Wei, is all inside this talk, in the Klang talk. They invited me there to give a talk. And I give it within 2 hours, I remember this. Everything is inside there, very beautiful. You want to understand why form is emptiness? Emptiness is form. It's all inside this book. It's at the back. You can go and get a copy. And that sharing was in the year October 2014. Okay, then we go on. The third paragraph is very beautiful. Kuan Yin told Sariputta. He said, Sariputta, all dhammas are empty of characteristic. They are not produced, not destroyed, not defiled, not pure, and they neither increase nor diminish. Therefore, in true emptiness, there is a word missing, true emptiness, there is no form, no feeling, no cognition or perception, no mental formation or sankhara or consciousness. Also, no eye, no ear, no nose, no tongue, no body, no mind. No sight, sound, smell, taste, object of touch or dhamma. No feel of eye, up to and including no feel of mind consciousness, and no ignorance, and no ending of ignorance, up to, including no old age, no sickness, no death, and the ending of old age and death. There is no suffering, no accumulation, no extinction, and no noble eightfold path, and no understanding and attaining. So you are from the Theravada tradition. I tell you, you were like full of shock. What type of teaching is this? The Buddha say got Dhamma, got Four Noble Truths. Here, everything don't have. No one born, no one die, no one sick, no one old. That's why not easy to understand Hatsutta, because you use your mundane mind, lateral thinking. You use knowledge you cannot understand. But when you develop through your silent mind, through the direct seeing, through the awakening, then you realize everything that is spoken here is so true, so beautiful. Because Kuan Yin is talking about the true emptiness. In true emptiness, where all this Dhamma only exists within the conditioned world. That's why we have birth, we have death, we have old age, sickness, but these are all not real. Where it pertains to the form and mind, which is not us. This one is karmically conditioned out. This one is not real, not you. It's impermanent, go the way of nature. If you cling, grasp, hold, it leads to suffering. And because it's impermanent, it's not a permanent unchanging entity, therefore this one is anatta, empty, not real. You cannot cling onto it, hold onto it and say, this is me, this is I. Therefore I can own all this. All this can be mine. The Buddha said, this is delusion, ignorance. That's why when you see all this through the direct seeing, which is the unconditioned, the wisdom, that arise through the unconditioned, when it's connected to this form and mind, this form and mind will know actually all this not real, empty. That's why it got no suffering, understand? But it know how to live life. That's why in the salutation to the Sangha, we chant, just now we chant in English, is it? The four pair of beings, the enlightened disciple or the disciple, or the Buddha. What quality do they have? You every time chant Supatipanno Bhagavato Savaka Sangho. What is the meaning? Of good conduct is the order of the enlightened disciple of the Buddha. Then the next one? Of upright conduct. Then Nyayapatipanno is of wise conduct. The last one is what? Of dutiful conduct. Not beautiful, dutiful. You do your duty. That is for this form and mind. Understand? This form and mind is subject to the law of karma. That's why you cannot simply do things. This law of karma recognizes relationship. That's why you cannot kill your father and mother. It's heavy karma. Patricide. This one recognizes relationship. That's why this one got duty. You have a duty as a father, as a husband, as a son, as a grandparent, Richard's case. So all this is your duty, understand? You perform so many roles. All this got karmic implication. So law of karma recognizes relationship. But when it comes to ultimate truth, the unconditioned, all this is not real. This is only existential truth, not ultimate truth. That's why to the world, everything like very real. Everything exists. But they come and go, you never see the impermanent characteristic. Then you attach, cling when they don't follow nature's law, where you want it your way, you suffer, you cannot see, you cannot understand. That's why you become tormented, afflicted. You have suffering. And because you can't see this, you can't see the third characteristic, anatta nature, of all phenomenal world of consciousness. That's the reason why the Buddha's teaching is so unique, so powerful. The moment you realize it through the direct seeing, through your nature, you awaken. And that is the understanding of the unconditioned. So within the unconditioned, what Kuan Yin state here is true, complete, perfect. That's why you must have the wisdom born of the unconditioned. Then you must also know the worldly Dhamma, born of the conditioned world, which is the teaching of the Buddha. And with these two, you understand the mundane and the supramundane, then you can live life, you can become beautiful. That's why Kuan Yin finally, he also say, Zhen Kong Miao Yu. You can understand that? You cannot understand. Zhen Kong is true emptiness equals wonderful existence. When you understand the unconditioned truth, you will know how to live life. That's why life becomes wonderful. Understand? Miao Yu, wonderful existence. Yu is existence. Miao is wonderful, beautiful. So when you understand true emptiness, you will understand life. If you don't understand true emptiness, you cannot understand life. That is the meaning. That's why this sutta is very, very powerful. It can truly awaken the living being. That's why it's called one of the most powerful Mahayana sutta. And the Heart Sutta always talk about emptiness, nothing else. I read on. Kuan Yin say, because nothing is attained, the Bodhisattva, through reliance on perfection of wisdom, prajna paramita, is unimpeded in his mind. Because there is no impediment, he is not afraid, and he leaves distorted dream thinking, means the delusion, far behind. Ultimately, Nibbana. All Buddhas of the three periods of time attain Anuttara Samyat Sambohi, means become Sama Sambuddha through reliance on perfection of wisdom, Prajna Paramita. Therefore, know that this Prajna Paramita is a great spiritual mantra, a great bright mantra, a supreme mantra, an unequal mantra. It can remove all suffering. It is genuine and not fake or false. That is why the mantra of Prajna Paramita was spoken. Recite it this way. Gate gate paragate parasam gate bohi soha. So this one, when you recite, it will also connect you to Kuan Yin's nature. You can have affinity with her nature. Or you can just chant. Om Pemi Mimi Hom. They are very powerful. Or you also can recite the Heart Sutta. That's why a lot of this Mahayana tradition, they recite the Heart Sutta. They call it Song Jing. Then the Great Compassionate Mantra also same, Ta Pei Zhou. They are all very powerful. You know what is this Ta Pei Zhou or not? Great Compassionate Mantra. They are the name of all the 80 over manifestation of Kuan Yin. He came before under this type of manifestation, the form and mind, all these great beings that he take. So when you chant them all together, every of these manifestations that came, they are so wonderful, so beautiful, and full of wisdom, virtue, and understanding. So you compile and combine them all together, it becomes a mantra. That's why it's called the Great Compassionate Mantra, Ta Pei Zhou. And it has its efficacy, it has its potentness. If you have faith and you know how to chant, he will bring forth great compassion to the world, because she managed to convert it into a nature's law until that vow become nature's law. So Kuan Yin don't have to be everywhere, every place, in every living being's mind who call out to her. You understand? It's impossible. How can you be everywhere? That's why the Mahayana teaching is different. It has become part of nature's law. But the vow, through the merits, the perfection, the wisdom, they have become so powerful that it can bring forth the causes and conditions for that vow to become part of nature's law. That's why it can manifest. It can become what it is vowed to be or meant to be. But you have to have faith. You have to have that sincerity and the affinity with Kuan Yin Bodhisattva. And you really need her blessing, protection and guidance in order to go this way. Because you all by now should know, our form and mind every time we come. This one, even though not real, not you, but it's important, you know. But this is a vehicle and tool to come. And you need this to cultivate, to develop the perfection and the understanding. Then like my daughter tell you, oh, this one very fragile, understand? Very fast, can just die. Accident, gone already. Heart attack, gone already. Understand? That's why it's very fragile. So the one that need protection is this form and mind. And Kuan Yin's nature is very beautiful. Because my nature has very strong affinity with Kuan Yin's nature. And because of that, this life also, he protected my form and mind at least 3 times. Otherwise, I would have died long ago. Three occasions I would have died. But because of the affinity and all, because all this you will come to understand later on as you go through the cultivation. Then you recall, you reflect back, recollect back. Then you realize, cannot be so coincidental. And everything just manifests like that, so beautiful. So the blessing, protection and the guidance, you have faith and affinity, it will connect you through. And they don't have to look after you every day and night, like the invisible man up there watching you. No need. It's part of nature's law. That nature manifests through nature's law. And it will just connect and do the work. That's why they got a lot of work to do, but it's not them doing. It's their vow. Their nature, which is so beautiful. If you cannot understand, don't worry. No need to understand. When the time comes, when you have developed the cultivation, you not only will understand, you will become amazed how all this cultivation can be done up to that level. And at Kuan Yin's level, you may think it's already very extraordinary. But do you know Amitabha Buddha? Amitabha Buddha got 48 great vows. And he vowed until the we call it the impossible also become possible. You know how he vowed? He vowed to create pure land. You know what is pure land? No suffering being. All these are cultivated, at least first stage of sainthood onward. And he said, every lotus, at first he said the lotus will boom, no? Lianhua chu chu kai, no? Then he said, every of these lotus, yi duo yi jing tu. You know what the meaning of, what is the meaning of that? Every of these lotus that is blooming and flowering, everyone he vowed to transform it into pure land. You see the vow, how great and how extensive. And yet he can make it happen. No? This pure land is not in your 31 plane of existence, do you understand? And he manifests it through his vow. That's why he took the longest. His one through faith. He take more than 3 times Sakyamuni's duration to become a Sammasambuddha. So all this Mahayana teaching is not easy to comprehend when you are just at the thought level. But give yourself the opportunity. Have an open mind. Don't reject. Don't accept. Let it be until you are ready to understand and then put it to test. Then when your cultivation develops and you progress, you will understand what I say and what they try to tell you. Yeah, all these are possible, not impossible. I came from both traditions. Because this life, I started with Theravada. But my past, I have cultivated, my nature has cultivated Mahayana before. That's why this life, there is a few things that this nature is supposed to do. It's supposed to share with you the true Dhamma, Zhen Fa. Then supposed to connect and explain the two teachings, the Theravada Mahayana, no different. They are the same teaching, except one is more extensive. One involved the forest of leaf, the other one just a handful. But no problem, because the handful also can realize Nibbana. You don't have to come back to take rebirth and go through all the suffering and misery. No need. You can free. But when we say you, it's not a person. It's not a permanent, unchanging entity. It's just the enlightenment at that life when it become an arahant. Arahant, no more ignorant, no more rebirth consciousness. That's why no more coming back. That's it. Finish. No more. So that is the individual's choice. If you choose to go that way and cease, well and good. No harm. No problem. But there are more extensive ways and other understanding. If you are interested, it's available. And you can go and learn it and develop that understanding. Then you try it out. You got nothing to lose, everything to gain. Everything they ask you to do is to develop your cultivation to the level which is very different. Because your cultivation is very much more extensive than the usual sainthood way. Okay, so at least we finished chapter 1. Then chapter 2 is the 5 aggregate of form and mind, which I told you all before. Oh, sorry. It's still chapter 1, 1.3. It's the 5 aggregate. Because in the Heart Sutta, it's mentioned where he illuminated the 5 aggregate and he realized they are all empty. So to understand the Heart Sutta, you must understand the 5 aggregate. That's why under 1.3, page 2, I explain it with a diagram. Hope it can help you. The 5 aggregate of form and mind or skandhas, there are two aspects which I have already explained. First aspect as a human being, where the rupa is the form, is the physical body or physical form. Then the second aspect as the 5 mental aggregate, where the mental rupa, the mental form, are external form brought into mind by the aggregate of mental perception or sanya. So perception or sanya is translated as cognition by the Venerable Master Xuan Hua in his book, The Heart of Prajna Paramita Sutta. So that time we use his commentary by Master Xuan Hua as our text. So that book used the word cognition. So you look at the diagram, form and mind. So form, one part, mind, which is your nama, another part. The aggregates of mind are the external rectangle, Vedana, which is feeling, sanya, perception or cognition, then sankara, which is mental formation or mental activity and mental state, etc. Then vijnana is consciousness we have gone through. So the second aspect is the mental, 5 aggregate, means you take the external form into mind, then it becomes a thought. So this is how the second aspect of the 5 aggregate come to it. First aspect is as a human being. Very simple, very direct, very easy to understand. You have a physical body, you have a mind, another four aggregate. So 4 plus 1 is 5. Finish. Yeah. Okay, Vedana Sanya Sankara are content of consciousness, like I explained. Sankara is inclusive of feeling and perception. That's why you combine them together, it's only Sankara. And that one under the Theravada teaching, they say Sankara, there are 52. Inclusive of feeling and perception. Without feeling and perception, it's 50. These are all your various mind states. So Sankara, they use a lot of English words. Sometimes they translate as mental formation, mental activity, mental state, mental intention, mental planning, scheming, etc. The actual meaning is everything that your mind can do, including your feeling and perception. So consciousness or vijnana is the receptacle or the container. Like your container need to hold water or liquid or food, the content inside, understand? Whereas the consciousness is just like the light bulb, it's just a light cup like that. You become conscious of what you see. But you haven't input the content. When you input the content, the pure vijnana means that pure consciousness become a thought. So that thought, whether wholesome or unwholesome, depend on the form and mind that input it. If the form and mind is enlightened with wisdom, then it becomes wholesome thought, pure thought. If it's with delusion, it becomes wrong thought, deluded thought. Then we have the sixth sense door. The eye, ear, nose, tongue, bodily tactile, and mind door. So these are the five physical organs plus the mind door, the sixth sense organ. The mind door actually is supported by our brain, the brain. Part two, meditation. An important essential Dhamma. 2.1. The five mental hindrance that hinders the mind from entering the meditative state of inner peace, inner calmness, or becoming peaceful and aware within are sensual desire, ill will, sloth and torpor, or sleepiness and lethargic mind, restlessness of mind, and doubt. To counter it, we need to cultivate the opposite five spiritual faculties. This one I explained already. The opposite five spiritual faculties are Saddha, Virya, Sati, Samadhi, and Panya, with the corresponding English translation in bracket. Then the five daily contemplation that the Buddha teach to develop the initial wisdom. The Buddha said, this body of ours is of the nature to grow old and decay, for it has not gone beyond old age and decay. Then the second contemplation is, this body of ours is of the nature to be diseased or get sick, for it has not gone beyond disease and sickness. The third one is, this body of ours is of the nature to die, for it has not gone beyond death. All that is dear to me, our loved one, our wealth, our possession, etc., they are impermanent, and they are conditioned arising. Hence, they will separate from us one day. When condition is there, it arises, exists, like you can own them. But when condition cease to be, it ceases to be. A very good example is, in the early days, remember the Middle East War, when Iraq conquered Kuwait. You know what happened that time? Overnight, Kuwait gone. They lost everything. The government, their central bank, everything was gone. Until the Americans interfere and fight and took it back. So overnight you can lose everything. The condition is that Iraq say Kuwait was earlier on in the history time, you see, one of their colony. That's why they take back what they own. And the Kuwaiti government lost its control. That's why you think you own. The next day, when the law changed, you don't own anything. You heard about nationalization or not? They can nationalize your wealth, your asset or not. Last time Indonesia happened before, China happened before. Yeah. The communist government just nationalized all the assets that foreigners own. Then my father, when he came to Malaysia, his one also taken by the communist government, the one that he inherited from his parents. But luckily, the communist government very good. After they open our, they give back now. My father went back, the record's still there. And they give back to him. That's what a lot of people don't know. So it's the law. When the law changes, you don't own anything. Your identity erased. Have you seen the Western show, The Eraser? You all didn't see that show. That show is very interesting. He said very powerful people, very famous and all things with a lot of money as well. They go into the central computer, they erase the identity of, and they change all the thumbprint, everything. Then the new owner becomes somebody else. And that lady was a double agent. He got nowhere to go. His credit card all cannot swap. His thumbprint all cannot be recognized. The moment he put down, he become a criminal. Everybody after her. So your own identity, the civilized world also can make you miserable. That's why the Buddha said these are all dependent originating conditions. Right? When condition change, your identity also change. The thing that you think you own also change. That's why the world is not what you think. And that is just society, When it comes to nature's law, it's even more powerful. A lot of things. That's why the Buddha said, if you understand condition, you will understand the Dhamma. If you cannot understand condition, you can never understand the true Dhamma. Because the variation is too many. It's wisdom. Wisdom is an understanding. It's not rigid. It's not a knowledge. It's applicable to all conditions. All situation, all type of being. That is what wisdom is all about. When you understand, you really understand. I like to give this analogy, which is not really close, but quite a good analogy. You understand our primary school day, we learn arithmetic. Arithmetic. So we tend to add 2 + 5 = 7. 4 + 3 = 7. But there was a situation, a case, the student don't understand. Because he only learned from his tuition teacher, who teach him only 4 + 3 = 7. Then the father asked him, son, how is your school teacher teaching you? He said, dad, that arithmetic teacher, he don't understand what she is teaching. You know what the son told the father or not? That teacher, my tuition teacher say 4 + 3 = 7. She, 5 + 2 = 7. 6 + 1 = 7. What type of teacher is that? You know the meaning or not? Yeah, he study by knowledge, memorize. Understand? He doesn't understand maths, understand? Maths is how you add, understand? And how you subtract and divide and multiply. He doesn't know the principle behind. That's why he become rigid, knowledge. That's why human being argue, isn't it? My teacher teach like that, no? Why you say not like that? Over what? Like the famous king that sent the 4 sons to the same place. Because there are 4 seasons in the year, the king know, isn't it? And all the 4 sons come back, supposed to report the truth. The 1st son report, after he report, the 2nd son, the 3rd son, and the 4th son thought he lied. He said, this guy didn't go. Simply say, I went there, I saw different. He went there winter, everything also frozen, no river, nothing. White. Then the other one went autumn. Oh, still not completely frozen yet. Still got river, but no more summer. Then when he spoke, the other 2 that saw summer and and spring, thought these two didn't go. They lie. Then the third one report. Then the fourth one report. Then you know what the father say. Very good. All of you did when? Then only they understand. No? Then they ask the father, no, how come? I went there, I saw this. The other brother saw different thing. And you say we are all telling the truth. Because the father went before. All the four seasons he saw before. And nature can be so marvelous. That's why you are so rigid, knowledge-based, you don't understand the complete understanding of season, the four seasons within a year of our planet, which rotate on the axis, then you will argue, understand or not? You say you lie. I went there, I see different. Huh. Why you say like that? This is what the human mind is all about. Rigid. Don't have to understand. Wisdom means I understand completely. That's why whatever condition, the one with wisdom can answer you. Can understand clearly. Does it help? Yeah? By explaining this to you. Because wisdom is not what you think. It's not a knowledge, it's not a rigid one. It is really something that understands completely. Because the other knowledge is not complete. It's limited, rigid. And they don't understand the complete whole picture. Understand? It's fragmented, small knowledge here and there. And that one cannot awaken you. That one cannot free your mind. That one will make you rigid and become a problem to society and to everyone. Yeah, that one will argue. Understand? Yeah, he only believes what he sees or what he hears from people whom he believes. If it's from somebody else, different, he rejects. That's why a lot of people with very narrow view, not open-minded, they are very close. And the Buddha under the Salika Sutta mentioned this. He said, all the living beings, he can teach and make them enlightened. There is only one he cannot teach. The one that hold on to his view tenaciously. Refuse to open up and listen. That one he cannot have with him. So don't end up like that. Always have an open mind. Where there are a lot of things in this world, in our universe, that even scientists also haven't understood. Do you know that? In the ancient day, lightning strike, you know what they say, God is angry. And people believe, no? Until later on. Then they say the earth is flat. Until scientists prove it otherwise. You realize or not? We study geography. Then geography tells us, through science, the earth is rotating on its axis. And it's round. And they cannot understand what is round. If it's round, you reach the end, you fall down there. They only know gravity in certain limited way. But the scientists understand geography and physics in a completely different way. That's why later on, science come up with the understanding and prove that our Earth is round. And round, rotating on the axis, go around the sun. Our Earth is not the center of the universe. You understand? And all this, the churches, at first, they were very, very, because they believe, understand? So all this failed to stand up to the test of science. That's why when science came into the picture, a lot of things that is recorded in the holy book of many religions break down, just fail. And in the words of Einstein, I remember, the only religion that stand up to science is Buddhism. So far, haven't failed. It's about nature's law. So this is the part. Maybe if you can understand, it will help you. Oh, 9:15 already, so fast. Okay, I finish off a bit more. The last contemplation is we are all born of our karma, heir to our karma, conditioned and supported by our karma, and we are what we are because of our karma. So you look at your life, everything depends on karma. So what must you do? You must take care of karma. Otherwise, your life will be in trouble. Yeah. Then, law of karma is how the advice of the Buddha come about. Dhammapada verse 183. Yeah. Then, the meaning of craving, meditation, and attachment or clinging. Craving equals wanting things your way, reacting to, and craving leading to suffering. Because you crave, you will develop suffering. Because everything follow nature's law, not according to what you want. Your craving is based on your own desire, selfishness, and delusion, not based on nature's law. That's why you will suffer when you cannot get what you want. Meditation, there are three type of wisdom that comes with it. One is through listening, hearing, and reading. So this one is the first turning wisdom, Sutamaya Panya, through listening to the discourse as proclaimed by the Buddha. Nowadays we are more lucky, we got writing, that's why we can read. Then we got recorder, we can listen to it again. Then the second turning wisdom is Chintamaya Panya, born of contemplation, reflection, and inquiry. Then the third one is Bhavana Maya Panya, born of the direct seeing, leading to awakening. Attachment equals to grasping or clinging via delusion. So it will condition suffering. Okay, at least we completed chapter 1. So we will continue tomorrow. You can rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Before I end, there is a note supposed to be given out on the guideline for temple stay in Sompo Temple, Binchang, Cameron Highland. This one is prepared by Sister Pamasuri, and it's very important that you read it, understand it, so that you don't make mistakes. This is for us to actually develop the understanding and the gratitude towards the temple, because they have so kindly agreed to let us use for so many years. It's because the way we conduct ourselves, then they see that you are sincere. You are really a cultivator who has the understanding. That's why they are willing to let us have the way place to do the retreat. And they are not charging us anything. Your lodging, your water, utility, even bedsheet, everything, they offer free to us. We only pay for our meals. And the meals are very cheap. It's only a few ringgit. And I can tell you, if it's you living on your own, you don't come to this retreat. Do you know how much you have to spend on your meals and your lodging or not, if it's not your own house? But all these are given to us free because they are willing to allow us to have this because they believe in your sincerity, your faith, your whatever wholesomeness. And they rejoice. And this is the intent of the abbot, the founder that set up all this. And also the intent of the donors who have donated towards the upkeep, the management, and the usage and all those things. So we need to respect them, the way place, and all the good condition that they have given us. That's why we have to abide by this simple guideline which they have given us. These are from the feedback that we have over the years. Then now we have put it into printed copy. Yours is the first year you received this. Last time on all verbal instruction. But this year is in written. So easy for you to understand. So I hope you have a copy each. If you don't have, you can ask for Padmasuri. Then he can pass to you. Earlier on, he sent out a soft copy in the website. So These are the things you have to develop the understanding. Then it will make our stay more pleasant and it will maintain our good name. So that in future when we request, they just, without any further thinking, they just approve. You ask the Kaya Metta the previous year, immediately after the last day, after we finalize the donation, everything, the account, everything, then we ask for forgiveness from the Tang Jia, the Abana. Sui An will have the next year's retreat date ready for him to approve. And he always say, okay, 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 Meisu, Meisu. He will go and record it. And we always get to choose our date early. We had it in March. So these are the trust that people have in us because we reflect it in the way we conduct ourselves when we are at this retreat. And they are really very kind to us. They really like us. The food also, everything, they will do it very well for you. So tomorrow there will be breakfast. What time is the breakfast? Okay, I go through the tomorrow's first few itinerary with you all so that it will help. Okay. Tomorrow, early morning, you can plan your timing, what time you want to wake up. Wait, Okay, day two. The recommended time is you wake up early, 5:45 latest. Then you have half an hour to clean up and get ready for our session here. Then also for those who are new, they got some chanting down there. I think they start at 6 o'clock. Isn't it? Oh, 5:15 already the gong start, yeah. You will hear some gong to tell you they are about to start the chanting already. The Mahayana chanting. And it's very interesting, you can follow. A lot of Kaya Metta will go down and listen. Yeah. But it's a bit cold, You better have enough warm clothing. What is it? Oh, the forecast according to Sui An is 12 degrees. But you have to prepare yourself, just in case it's really 12 degrees. Then you really have to have enough warm clothing. But from the way the sun is helping us, this whole morning and afternoon the sun is very, very strong. So hopefully it will help to cushion the temperature a bit so that it will not go down so fast. But if it's raining, then of course the heat is already gone. Then at night, it will become very cold. So make sure you have enough warm clothing when you go for your morning chanting or whatever. Then for those who are going for the chanting, you can wait till that thing finish, then you come out to the meditation hall and join us. Those who can make it earlier, you can come in early, then we will have the morning puja. So by the time the morning puja finish, I think most of them would have come in. Then we will have the morning mindfulness come stretching exercise. You have bring along your weight, then I will teach you how to do it. Then Vincent not here. He hasn't arrived. When Vincent arrived, he will Thursday. He will teach you another type of exercise, which is good for your health. So we see how it goes. Anyway, you get to learn two types. Okay, that's about it. Then maybe we can just do the closing puja, the sharing of merits, and the transfer of merit. Let us recall to mind all the wholesomeness that we have developed over the whole of today, the first day of our retreat. Then we will dedicate and share all these merits to all beings, starting with the devas. Akasata cha bhumata deva naga mahindika punyantang anumoditva chirang rakantu loka sasana caam ihi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampati siddhiya idang me nyatinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo idang me nyatinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo imin me nyatinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo imina punyang kamena mame bala samagamo satang samagamo hotu Yawa Nivana Patiya Sadhu Sadhu Sadhu. Okay, do pay respect to all the worthy ones. Then after that we can end our tonight, first night sharing. Okay, Sadhu.